From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, April 11th. I'm Abby Larico. Leaders of community radio station KDHX will seek a judge's okay next week to sell the station to a national network of Christian radio stations. KDHX fans plan to be in court trying to block the sale.
I feel as hopeful and confident as you can. I mean, because we're so in the right and they're in the wrong, I think we do have a chance.
The latest on a radio station that's about to either go off the air or get a second life. After this news on The Gateway. St. Louis University has reached a settlement in a class action lawsuit with patients whose information was compromised in a data breach. According to legal documents, an unauthorized user gained access to SLU's computer network between December of 2022 and July of 2023. That exposed private patient and student data, including social security numbers, dates of birth, and medical information. Patients brought a class action lawsuit against SLU and the health provider SSM, alleging the organizations didn't properly protect their information. The suit did not say where the plaintiffs received care. SLU Hospital on South Grand Boulevard is part of the SSM network. Patients who have received notice their data was involved in the breach can apply to receive compensation and credit monitoring. A new police training academy will soon come to the St. Louis region. The Missouri Department of Public Safety awarded $50 million to a cohort of law enforcement agencies this week to start the project. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has details.
Leaders from St. Louis, Jefferson, St. Charles, and Franklin counties say for years they've worked to create a joint police training academy for the St. Louis region. The facility will provide courses for new recruits and veteran officers, as well as virtual reality simulator rooms. Lieutenant Colonel Norman Mann is a commanding officer at the St. Louis County Police Department.
Well, now that the grant has been awarded, there's going to be a lot of behind the scenes hiring of a construction manager, things like that. And we have to identify a site and then purchase the site. So hopefully that it'll start pretty soon.
Officers will also have access to a gun range, an auditorium, classrooms, and two gyms. Once built, the academy would be run by law enforcement officials. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
A bill passed in the Missouri House yesterday would make it legal to bring guns on public transportation and lower the minimum age for a concealed carry permit. St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis reports.
Currently, it's illegal to bring guns on public transit even if you have a concealed carry permit. Supporters of the bill say it would allow passengers to protect themselves and safeguard Second Amendment rights. Representative Yolanda Young, a Kansas City Democrat, says that the bill wouldn't make anyone safer.
More access to guns does nothing to improve public safety. More access to guns doesn't decrease gun deaths. It does the opposite.
The bill would also lower the minimum age to acquire a concealed carry permit from 19 to 18 years. The bill now goes to the Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House has also passed legislation that would expand who can ask for an investigation into radioactive waste contamination. Currently, the U.S. Department of Natural Resources may use its Radioactive Waste Investigation Fund to look into concerns of waste exposure submitted by a local governing body. The proposed law would also allow for community groups and individuals to submit requests for investigations. Republican Representative Mark Mattison is the sponsor of the legislation, and he says he won't stop pushing for it.
So people can be informed about their risks, and we can compel the federal government to take responsibility and clean up the mess that they brought to our state.
The bill also eliminates the cap on how much the Department of Natural Resources can spend on an investigation. And another bill passed in the Missouri House yesterday would define and prohibit anti-Semitism on college campuses. Bill sponsor George Cruza is a St. Louis County Republican and says he introduced the bill in response to an upsurge in anti-Semitism.
Unfortunately, anti-Semitic incidents in Missouri have quadrupled in the last year alone. So we need to act to protect our Jewish students.
Some opponents worry the bill represents a free speech concern and would be used to silence criticism of Israel. Haruza said during floor debate that statements such as accusations that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza would be considered anti-Semitic speech under his bill. The bill now goes to the Senate. The top Democrat on the House Budget Committee is criticizing her GOP colleagues for allocating $50 million to K-12 scholarships. State Representative Betsy Fogel of Springfield says her Democratic colleagues worked well with GOP budget leaders, but she says it was a mistake to send the money to a program that could help pay for private schools. Fogel says the decision was misplaced when legislators aren't fully funding the state's K-12 foundation formula.
No one seemed to have problems with the foundation formula until now it calls for us spending more money and making more investments in our constituents and in our kids back home.
Fogel was a guest on Politically Speaking. You can listen to her interview at STLPR or wherever you find podcasts like this one. Southern Illinois University Edwardsville leaders are proposing the elimination of 6 bachelor degree specializations. STLPR's Will Bauer reports this is part of SIUE's effort to cut costs because of a budget deficit.
SIUE leaders first proposed eliminating the physics major and minor last month. Now they're proposing cutting these specializations within majors. Art history, bioprocess chemistry, medical science, music theory and composition, French, and German. Specializations serve as an emphasis of study within a major. Faculty Association President Megan Robb says they'd like university leaders to work with the faculty.
I feel like they're the experts, and I hope that our administration will listen to the experts in thinking about making these decisions and not have it be based on a revenue decision.
SIUE Chancellor James Miner says the public shouldn't see these changes as a sign of financial crisis. Rather, it's the university adjusting to change. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Welcome Neighbor STL is offering homework and reading support to middle and high school students, but the immigrant and refugee organization needs more volunteers to help the program be successful. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports on the effort.
Welcome Neighbor STL's tutoring program is offered on Wednesdays at the Afghan Community Center off South Grand Boulevard. Volunteers will help students with all subjects. The nonprofit will provide a tool for tutors to familiarize themselves with the curriculum. Most of the students are from Afghanistan and also need help with reading and writing. Haroon Safi is a program director at Monarch Immigrant Services, St. Louis.
Imagine arriving in a new country where the language is unfamiliar and the culture is different. The school system is totally different, so that's kind of overwhelming.
Safi says extra tutoring gives refugee students the courage to ask questions in class. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Lenny Kravitz, Sublime, and Public Enemy will be in Forest Park this fall to headline the 3rd annual Evolution Festival. TLC, Father John Misty, Corinne Bailey Ray, and Pokey LaFarge are also among the 30 local, national, and international artists who will perform. The festival launched in 2023 with 25,000 people in attendance. This year's festival will take place September 27th and 28th at Langenberg Field between the Dwight Davis Tennis Center and the Boathouse at Forest Park. Leaders of community radio station KDHX will head to court next week, seeking a judge's approval of their planned sale of the station's radio frequency to K-Love. That's a national chain of syndicated Christian radio stations. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All spoke with our reporter Jeremy Goodwin, who's been covering the story, about where the long-running dispute over KDHX's future is headed.
Jeremy, what's coming up next in the process?
On Monday, the station will have a hearing where creditors can ask questions about finances. Then Wednesday's a big day. There's a hearing in bankruptcy court where KDHX will attempt to get a judge's approval to sell its assets to K-Love.
A lot of people in the community just don't want this to happen. Do they have any opportunity to stop it?
The KDHX board is definitely in the driver's seat here, and they are moving quickly. But there is a path toward blocking the sale, and station supporters tell me they're optimistic. I spoke with Steve Pick. He's a former DJ.
I feel as hopeful and confident as you can. I mean, because we're so in the right and they're in the wrong, I think we do have a chance.
Station supporters have until Tuesday to file an objection to the sale. I'd expect to see that happen.
So then what's going to happen in court next Wednesday?
Based on what I'm seeing in court papers, a lawyer will argue that the KDHX board doesn't have the right to sell the station because basically the path they took to get here didn't follow the station's bylaws. That the station's board just didn't allow everyone who was supposed to be able to participate in that decision to have a say. For instance, we learned in court filings that KDHX says it had a meeting with the board and associate members on March 3rd and voted to sell the station then. But this meeting was previously unknown to the public, including the dozen or so associate members who had successfully gotten a temporary restraining order expressly allowing them to vote on this at a February meeting where a sale proposal was expected. So did KDHX successfully find a loophole by waiting a few weeks and then voting at a different meeting? A judge may have to decide. This is part of the argument critics will make that KDHX just didn't follow the rules as it moved quickly toward the sale.
How do station leaders respond to these arguments?
KDHX declined to talk, but did clarify one point when I sent along some questions this week. It did have a press session via Zoom last week, and board president Gary Pearson was asked a few times what the board may have done differently to avoid this bankruptcy and planned sale. He didn't cite anything related to the current board's governance of the station. But he did say that he may have rallied more public support if he'd been more explicit about the alleged offenses of DJs that the board kicked off the air.
We're talking about things that would not have been tolerated in any organization. So maybe we should have given more detail about that. I don't know. I don't like to drag those kinds of things out into the public. I think it's kind of disgusting.
I want to note he said this doesn't cover everyone who was let go. And in the past, when Pearson has criticized DJs as a group, many said they first heard of the complaint when they saw Pearson's comments in the news. I'll note KDHX received several complaints about sexual harassment and racial discrimination in 2019. Station leaders denied those charges at the time, and they point out that through all the turmoil of recent years, they did in fact diversify the DJ roster, specifically by bringing in more Black DJs.
Thanks, Jeremy. We'll look forward to hearing more about this next week.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin speaking with our Jonathan All. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend.